So this is chapter 18, and Nathan has some kind of throat illness. Comes with having toddlers in the house, I think, a lack of sleep and a lot of disease vector. So I will try to enunciate and not drop off my words, but I make no promises. This is a great story. And it's a great story partly for the reason that we talked about with the children's sermon, which is this is Jesus being put to the test. And it's yet another example of Jesus coming to be with us and live like us, because everything is a test for us. Every moment of our lives is testing something. It is testing our reactions. It is testing our framework for how we think about other people, for how we think about our own lives, for whether we will go forward or go backwards. Everything is a test. And in this case, the test for Jesus is a serious one. Because as I hinted with the children's sermon, Jesus is being tempted and tested by the devil to do things that, with the benefit of hindsight and the rest of the stories in the Bible, we know Jesus not only can do, but in fact does do or will do. And so this is the real test. It is not, do this outrageous thing, Jesus. I want to see you make your miracles plain. No, it's asking Jesus to do things he knows he can do. He's certain he can do. It's saying, take these rocks and make them bread. Not a rock, to make a loaf of bread, to fill Jesus' belly, to make him not feel hungry anymore, but three rocks for three loaves of bread. Produce enough food, Jesus, to share for the entire world. Produce enough food, Jesus, to feed all the people you see below you. This is something you can do, Jesus, if you are the Son of God. You can feed the world. Why don't you do it? You can do so much good with the power that you have. Second test, throw yourself down from the temple in Jerusalem and be lifted up. He is saying, the devil is saying to Jesus, show all these people who you are. This is the great city with all the holy priests. Reveal your greatness to them. Show them that you are the Son of God by fulfilling this scripture that says you will be lifted up. Reveal yourself. That way they will listen to you. They will follow your instructions. They will be saved the way you want them to be. And that is the temptation to Jesus. Reveal yourself right now. And we know Jesus eventually conquers death. Jesus does show everyone who he is. So here is the temptation. Let's save all that hassle, all that messy work of getting people to the stage where they're ready to understand you. Let us eliminate all of the challenges to belief in who you are among all the priests and believers. Reveal yourself here in your glory. This is something you can do to help all these people you want to help. Come on, Jesus, do it. And the third temptation, of having power over all the cities on earth. Imagine being Jesus, being told, you know you can make your kingdom here on earth now. Just come and worship me, and then you can rule all of the cities and put into them all of the rules and ordinances that you want them to have so that everyone can live fulfilled in your kingdom. This, Jesus, is what I offer to you. And again, it is something Jesus knows he is called to do. This is what we read about in those parts of the Bible in the back we don't actually pay very much attention to. This is the coming of God into the kingdom of Jesus here on earth, something we fervently hope for in one way or another. So again, this is the temptation to Jesus. Cut out all that messy work and just do it yourself. That is the temptation that Satan gives to Jesus. And I said earlier, we are all tested every day. How many of you have been tested with this very thing? Cut out all the messy work and just do it yourself. hey, it's really hard to get five people to do this job. I'll just do it myself. So we could get a committee together and figure out what we want to do, but we all know what's going to happen, and so why don't I just do it myself? So this is the temptation, too, that we get. This is the lesson that we get from this. Because Jesus' reaction, like we talked about last week, if you remember the Archbishop Tutu retelling of the Transfiguration last week, it was Jesus up on the mountaintop with Elijah and with Moses, and this decision by Peter, hey, let's build houses and live up here. This is great. These great people from the past are here talking to us, and we get to conquer death, and it's a really great mountaintop to live on. But Jesus said, yeah, but the people in the valley need us. So here again on the mountain, Jesus is being tempted by the tempter, by Satan, saying, hey, look at all these things you could do for these people that need you in the valley. And Jesus said, yeah, but that's not really the way humanity works. No one ever learns anything if you do it for them. The way people learn is when you do it with them. And so Jesus turns down the beautiful elegance of doing this all himself. Oh, it's so simple and so elegant. I'll just make all the food for people. Instead says, no, where life is and where learning is and where God is in the messiness, is in the difficulty, is in trying to get people to understand that the only way we have food forever is if we learn how to share it. Because Jesus does produce food out of nothingness, the feeding of the 5,000. But that story is ambiguous. We know they start, everyone remember this story? Bunch of people out, like huge gathering, 5,000 people, and they've got like, I don't remember the numbers, some other, Rich, how many loaves of bread do they have? Three loaves of bread and two fishes, something like that. And then there are 5,000 people and everyone gets fed. So Jesus does it, but what's different there? What's different there is we don't actually know the mechanism by which there was enough food, right? So we have all these theories. Oh, maybe people dug into their pockets and found bread to share with everyone else. So that in the end, there were more than two loaves of bread and three fish. Maybe it was they dug into their pockets and found it, and then God said, hey, look, now that I know you're sharing, we'll make some more. We don't know what the mechanism is. We have the question, but what we know was that the miracle was in all the people being together, all the people sharing the food, and all the people getting fed. And so now we have this thing that we talk about, not the time that Jesus turned stones into bread, but the time 5,000 hungry people got fed. I don't know how to turn rocks into bread, but I do know what it looks like when 5,000 people get fed. And that is the lesson that Jesus is thinking about here in responding to the devil. He's thinking forward to that time when he will not be here to work the miracles in our presence. That he's got a limited time on earth to show us how we can do it for ourselves. And the way we do it for ourselves is together. Similarly, he could throw himself down and reveal himself before everyone off the temple, but that would be too easy. It would be too easy. So instead he says, what we're going to do is good work. We're going to work in Jerusalem. We're going to work in the provinces. We're going to work eventually in Greece. We're going to work hard and reveal ourselves. And we're not going to make it easy for people. We're going to put them to the test every time. Judge us by our work, not by the fact that we worship this guy who jumped off a temple. No, judge us by the fact that we keep on feeding the 5,000 people. This is where God is, in the work we do with one another, not just at the top of the temple with Jesus alone. And that's why it's important that the way Jesus lived and died was in suffering, in a human death, and then conquering death in a way that we could all follow. I think none of us have illusions about what happens when we jump off the top of a church. Because it said, if you're the Son of Man, they'll help you out. All right, great. But what Jesus said is you can die an ordinary death And then comes something different. Then comes the resurrection, the ability to live a new life every day beyond death into forever, that we have a chance to conquer death every time in our hope and in our love of one another together. So this is what Jesus is saying on the mountaintop. What good is it if I work these miracles alone up here? The miracles happen with all of us working together. And the good news is that Jesus saw the easy way out and said, no, what is more important is to be with my people, to live with them, to struggle with them, to be frustrated with them as they are frustrated in all of the things they are trying to do, and to die with them and show them, as I went, so too can you go. Living a life of hope and love, but only by working together, only by learning together, only by doubting together and struggling to understand what it is we are doing here, what the point is of all of this life. It's too easy to see the guy do it in the simple way. What's hard and what's rewarding and what is the test is seeing the difficult way to do it and doing it anyway, of sharing your knowledge with someone else, saying, this is the way we used to do it when we cooked dinners in this church. This is the way we used to do it when we had a garden outside. This is the way we used to do it when we went out and cooked dinners for people in the community. This is the way we used to do it when we built houses. This is the way we used to do it when we took mission trips. Because there are still people in this congregation that remember all of those things. And there are some of us that don't know how to do it. But what Jesus tells us is that the only way we learn, the only way we have a life that goes on beyond the present moment, is by working together, creating lessons, creating memories, writing new tests for the next generation to pass every day. Because we are always tempted to find ourselves alone on a mountaintop. We are always tempted to believe that the only way to do it is this way we can see. That's the easy way for us to do it alone. But the way to pass the test is to go back down into the mess and say, this is the good stuff. And this is the way we're going to do it together, struggling, complaining, and then laughing. Amen.